Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. Have you ever wondered what the deal was with Kegel exercises? Did you think it's only for women? Men? Can you do Kegel exercises? Two words, prolapsed rectum. You might want to think about some Kegel exercises. Have you wondered about urinary incontinence after pregnancy and why women seem to have that issue? Well, we're going to talk about that today.
That's a lot of interesting phrases and taglines in this one.
Like prolapsed rectum?
Or just Kegels. Like, that whole thing's just weird.
Kegel exercises in
well,
general?
Well, I already kind of felt uncomfortable when anybody mentions that word anyway, but then the research for this episode, I've told you before that my phone and my computers are all connected, so whatever I look at on my phone, like, you know, if I'm at work Googling stuff, funny, you know, like in context with coworkers, It's funny, but my husband's like, Jen, why were you Googling how to make fake poop? You know, like, just... So now, like, Kegels, the research I had to do for this episode, I was just like, oh, no. My family's going to judge me.
That's funny because we have that shared, you know, Google login.
Yeah.
And every time I see it up in the corner, I'm like, oh, crap, what have I searched over the last 2 days that they're going to see when they pull up? And
yeah, the medical confession shared pages.
Yeah. It's never anything seedy, but, you know.
Well, I guess we can always say, you know, tell each other the lie that it's for an episode.
Yeah,
I was thinking about an upcoming episode.
Yeah.
Parker came home and I was doing research on the computer downstairs at the table and he is talking to me over my shoulder and I was like, oh gosh, he's wondering probably why.
No, he's not. He's your son.
Yeah, it's true. I just got nervous for some reason because it was sexual in nature and
yeah.
I don't know. He's like, I was like, oh, I'm doing podcast research. He's like, yeah, I know. And he's like, what are you doing it on? I'm like, Kegel exercises. He's like, what's that? And I'm like, well, you should start doing them because it helps with anal leakage, incontinence, and it provides a better orgasm. And he
said that to him?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm educating
him. And then he was like,
I'm in. He totally turned around. He rolled his eyes. He's like, enough. Just stop. I'm done. I don't need to know about it.
Well, what's the history on the Kegel?
Arnold Henry Kegel first published his ideas in 1948. He was an American gynecologist who invented the Kegel how do you say that, Scott?
Perineometer.
Perineometer. An instrument for measuring the strength of voluntary contractions of the pelvic floor muscles.
Does it show a picture?
No. I don't have one. I'm sure you can look it up.
I'm thinking of like a metronome / like a luggage weight.
Well, do you remember the episode on like coffee making you poop we did and they stuck anal probes at people and measured the rhythmic contractions? It's got to be something like that. Just a probe that goes up and go ahead, squeeze.
Well, I'm thinking of like a grip strength analog. Like, you know, like you do for physicals or whatever, like where like people are really like get competitive and they're like, oh, well, they're squeezing their hand really tight. You know, this is one of those things where like their face is moving, but you know, you can't. You know?
Nothing's happening. Like that YouTube
that
video.
That you can see.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's about it.
But basically, he's just a doc that came up with how to measure the strength of those muscles.
And Kegel exercises as a non-surgical treatment for genital relaxation.
Oh.
That's what it says.
Oh.
So what is Kegel? What are they good for, Scott?
Yeah, why do we
tell
need
us
them?
The science behind all this.
Why should I get over my discomfort in the term?
Well, so you've got your pelvis, right? And you've got your pelvic cavity, and it's holding things like if you're a girl, it's holding your uterus, it's holding your bladder. It is the bottom floor of your pelvic, so they call it your pelvic floor muscles. The main grouping of them, they're called lavator ani, but they're made up of a few other types of muscles, like your pubococcygeus muscle and your iliococcygeal muscle and your coccygeus muscle. Anyways, and they just together make up the floor of your pelvis. It holds all the stuff up. And just like any muscle, if you use it, it's going to strengthen. If you don't use it, it's going to atrophy and weaken. Anyways, and so that's what their purpose is, right? It's holding up all that stuff. And so some of the nerves involved also is your pudendal nerve and your pelvic nerve. They kind of supply the signal from your brain to these muscles to contract, you know. The biggest thing with urinary incontinence, especially in pregnancy, so we'll just talk pregnancy specifically. You got a big baby coming out of a tiny little orifice there, and that baby is going to put pressure on the muscles and the nerves there.
Yeah.
And the longer you put pressure on any muscle or nerve, the more difficult it is to get blood flow to that, right? And we talked about putting pressure on your nerves. You don't have to put that much pressure on your nerves for your limb to fall asleep. Same thing here. So if you're putting tons of pressure, so like you're having a contraction contraction and you squeeze and bear down to try and push the baby out, you're actually, studies have shown, you're getting about 3 times the amount of pressure by bearing down than if you just let the contraction do itself. So you're supplying tons of pressure on these muscles and this nerve damage. And if you have long labors, and so this stuff is happening over long periods of time, you got an increased chance of having damage to the nerve or the muscles. And so the recommendation now by a lot of OBGYNs is don't...
C-section.
Well, and actually that, I mean, it is helpful, but so what they're saying is just don't push during that contraction. Let it happen naturally.
That's not what they tell you, though.
Well, and it is, it's, you know, it's changing. Same with episiotomies, right? Like that the thought is that, you know, you're going to reduce the chance of having damage if you can do a nice clean incision versus letting it tear on its own. But the studies are saying you've got a greater chance of having urinary incontinence and muscle problems if you do.
All I can think back to is when we talked about bowel movements and April suggested that you learn how to just let it happen naturally.
No, yeah, that's exactly what I thought of too. That I can't even imagine being in that much pain and then not pushing. Like, well, I can't even do it when I have a bowel movement.
I don't know
hardly
anything about hypnobirthing, so I'm just going to get torn up on this, but I wonder if there's something there, like if there's already a group of people that kind of practice that, like breathing through the pain and just, you know, like learning to not actually creating more, you know, by doing know that pushing creates more pain, but...
Well, and what's the risk-benefit, right? I mean, the benefit to not pushing is you're going to reduce your chance of having urinary incontinence and muscle problems that will cause prolapses down the line. But, you know, again, that chance is still pretty low overall anyway, so just start talking numbers. 1/3 of first pregnancies will come with urinary incontinence as an issue. Because the baby's pushing on the bladder, that's pushing on these pelvic muscles, and, you know, so you're going to have it bladder issues. But if you have more than one pregnancy, your second pregnancy is going to be about 3/4 of those women have urinary incontinence.
Oh, I feel lucky.
Yeah. Of all of those, only about 5% of women still have the problem
a year
once
later.
All of that stuff is healed. So it really is a low percentage, but it is going to increase your risk. The longer you go in labor, the harder it is, the more pressure you're putting. So things like if a doc uses forceps, so that puts more pressure on all of these muscle groups. And so you'll have an increased chance of having bladder prolapses where your pelvic floor muscles weaken to the point where your bladder falls into your vagina. They call it a bladder prolapse or your cystocele. These same muscles help with rectal sphincter control and that sort of thing. So you got a greater chance of rectal prolapse with this sort of stuff. They call that a rectocele.
This is one of our least pleasant episodes.
It gets better.
But it doesn't just happen with pregnancy, though. There's other reasons that people can have this incontinence, right? Isn't obesity a risk?
So anything that's going to cause nerve damage or not using these muscles. Age is a risk factor, right? Yeah. Like the older you get, the greater chance you can have bladder problems and having problems with holding your stool in. But if you have nerve problems like diabetics, you're going to have nerve issues. If you've got nerve problems going to that's controlling these muscles, that muscle's going to atrophy. So at the end of the day, it's anything that's going to cause a nerve problem or this particular muscle group atrophying.
I don't think that everyone has them. You know, by some of your statistics, I should have had issues. And I feel like I'm a pretty hearty laugher. So if I have a really good laugh, I'm always like, I'm going to pee my pants, you know, and I'll run and go pee because I don't want to pee my pants.
Have you ever peed from laughing?
Yes. Once when I was really young, like a 12-year-old girl, like at a slumber party, like full on laughed so hard I peed my pants.
That's awesome.
And then I've done it once as an adult.
When were you at work?
No.
Oh, because that would have been awesome.
It wasn't. It was actually now like an adult version of a slumber party, kind of like four girls and stuff. And yeah, and I knew it was going to happen. And I was like, and we were drinking, but I wasn't drunk. I just had a full bladder. And I was like, oh no, you know, but it doesn't happen regularly. Like I'm actually so scared of it that I'm like, I got to go because I'm going to go pee my pants. So I guess my thing though that's funny is there's no difference for me. In fact, I have never had an issue after pregnancy.
Got and great pelvic floor muscles.
Must be. Clearly, I do not do Kegels, so yeah, it's so not from that. Yeah. Like, I have friends that I work out with, and every time we have to jump rope, they will, like, they have to pee right before we start, and sometimes they'll stop and go back and pee. Like, tons of my friends have this issue. It's like jumping on trampolines, jump roping. Some of them are, like, running. Like marathon runners, like they'll pee their pants while they're doing it, but otherwise they're fine.
Yeah, so that would be the stress-induced incontinence versus
horrible.
The other type of incontinence, which is just a natural incontinence you get from like you know, other problems.
But there's fixes. And so Kegels is one of them, correct?
Kegels will help strengthen that because your ureter runs through this grouping of muscles. So if you have stronger muscles, it's going to help you control that bladder and keep it back versus if they're loose, the urine's going to be able to come out a little easier. So Kegel exercises.
There's a little fun fact here. Incontinence affects about 200 million people worldwide. The average bladder holds about 375 to 500 milliliters during the day and can hold up to 800 during the night.
Mine holds like 100.
Have you guys ever been laid up in bed for a long time and then like had to use, well, so I was laid up in bed for a long time, had to use a urinal.
Yeah.
And I would actually, I mean, what else are you going to do? So I had a fun game with myself. How long can I hold it? And how much pee is going to come out? So I'd measure. I never got above 800 milliliters. Oh. I mean, I was like, I'm going to pee myself if I don't go right now. And that was my 800 milliliters.
You didn't have a smartphone, I'm assuming.
To like
keep yourself occupied otherwise you were just like
well I was all doped up too like yeah. I was, who knows the games I was playing with
you're
myself
like a monkey
yeah let's test it Scott about 1 in 4 women and 1 in 8 men experience bladder issues and only 1 in 12 people will seek help.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, I
like,
do too.
I feel like it's one of those things that women, and only because that's my experience as friends, women that have issues, I feel like they almost like it's just part of their life. Like, now I just can't jump on the trampoline with my kids because I'll pee my pants. And well, I feel like I understood what Kegels were before, but now that the research has been done for this episode, I'm like, oh, you can, I mean, it's like any exercise program.
It's good for men too, right? Like we talked about with women, men actually, they have, you know, bladder issues too, you know, especially if their prostates are enlarging and, you know, you're having bladder control problems or you're just having, you know, incontinence problems in general with stool as well. Kegel exercises work for them too. They have the same muscle group that's holding up stuff in their pelvis.
That's so funny. I just never thought about it being a male issue. I just thought about it being female.
Yeah, similar. So I looked up what exactly it can do for men. It's like urinary incontinence, anal incontinence, prostate problems, ED issues, ejaculation and orgasm.
Those are like high priority. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like performance anxiety.
Like the guys in the gym, you want to be like, dude, ignore your pecs.
Check this out.
Could you imagine like if you just go to the gym and you just go sit on a weight bench? People are looking at you waiting for you to grab weights. Oh no, I'm doing reps.
Yeah. I've been asking people all week, do you do Kegels?
How does that round table go?
It's actually people pretty open about it. Yeah. Either no, yeah, sure, and then it just turns into a big joke.
Yeah.
Like,
did anybody say like, yeah?
Oh yeah.
Like I have an app that helps me track it.
Not that yet.
Has it surprised you who does the Kegels?
No, I just assume that people did that on a normal basis.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. Like, who
I
does
do,
this?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I used to have Benoit balls, but I got rid of them. I got rid of them because I just wanted to replace them, and I never replaced them. But I just do the normal, like, just Kegel exercises. You need to be consistent at them. And
well, yeah,
it's
like
just
any...
whenever you think about it. It's like, I get lazy about it sometimes, but then I get on
well,
the kick where I'm like...
Well, if you don't have any problems, do you need to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you'd want to. Sexual pleasure for women.
But what if you feel like you're fine? Like,
I mean, imagine it better. If you're fine. I mean, who wants to be average? Jen?
Well, I don't mean it like that. I'm just like, I have no complaints in my life. I'm not peeing my pants. I'm not, you know, like, I don't.
Well, I will say from the man's perspective, reading on this, and I should have written down the name of the actual procedure. I guess if you want to call it a procedure. I don't know. But there is a Chinese word for this thing where a woman is on top of a man and no one's thrusting or moving, but she's still stimulating using. So that could be exciting.
Well, there is also a gal named Kim Animai. She's a sex and relationship coach. She practiced what she calls vaginal kung fu up to 5 times per week and claims having a vice-like vagina is nothing short of miraculous. Like, if you look at things I lift with my vagina, she's incredible.
See, I can't
like,
Google
she's
that.
Carving out a niche in the world. But
what is she lifting, like, weight-wise?
Surfboards, coconuts, anything.
Oh, I just just don't see the purpose. Like, I'm like, I think I'd rather, like, plank.
I see the purpose. I don't know. I just...
I'm just thinking overall health, though, like, having a fit body is beneficial in other ways as well. So sexual gymnastics, it would also be beneficial to have a strong core and strong, you know, like, so I'm kind of like, why would you put all your eggs in the basket?
She's obviously a fit woman all around. Okay. So I think she's just shedding light on the topic itself, because I don't think it's something people normally talk about. So she's just out there and in people's face about it.
I
to promote
to get in my face about Kegels. So,
healthy Kegel. Because, I mean, if you practice now, the likelihoods of you becoming incontinent are less overall. I mean, I get it.
And then
it.
The sad thing is you'll end up with dementia and just be yourself anyway.
And everybody at the Alzheimer's ward conveniently goes by to
Kim's room.
To Kim's room. Although they'll forget about it. So...
That's like true.
Well, Scott, you mentioned that when we were doing research that you actually found like a YouTube video of someone demonstrating Kegels.
There is, and I should have written this down due to give them credit, but it's an Australian gal. It looks like she's about to do yoga. She's got the floor mat. She's in the yoga outfit. She's got this pillow that looks like...
It's so funny to me that thing. She got dressed up.
Well, she did. And this is why I'm like, okay, so this has got to be a full body motion. Are we sweating here? What's about to happen? And it's a long YouTube video, like 20 minutes, and then she just lays down on this pillow that looks like a liberator or
like
something.
Like a body pillow kind of a thing?
More like a sex pillow that gets you in the right position, because you're supposed to have everything relaxed. Like no butt muscles, your glutes got to be relaxed, your quads, all of your muscles would be relaxed and you're focused on this.
Yeah.
These pelvic floor muscles. So she's laying on this pillow and she's like up and down. And I'm like... But you're not even moving. What's happening right now? I don't see anything happening. And for like 10 minutes, up and down. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
She's like the opposite of the Prancer size lady.
I love that lady.
I haven't seen her.
Oh, you haven't?
Prancer size?
Oh, gosh, April. You're going to start doing it at the mall.
Oh.
You're going to go at the mall walkers and you're going to Prancer size.
Two syllables, camel toe.
Oh.
It is ridiculous. Should I have not said that?
No, that's fine.
I don't know why. Set me off just now.
Okay. Well, so women, in order to perform the Kegel exercises, squeeze their muscles 10 to 15 times in a row, trying to hold for a few seconds. Don't hold your breath or tighten any stomach, buttocks, thighs at the same time. Each week, you can add more, but be careful not to overdo it. And I'm like, oh, what happens if you overdo it? Yeah.
Like, you get sore Kegels?
Yeah.
But here's a question for you, though. Like, I'm now interested from the training perspective, is there different prescriptions for different people? So if you're trying to gain mass, do you do like heavier weight, less reps? And if you're just trying to be more toned, do you
bedroom
do high
Olympics,
reps?
This could be important.
You know, like...
yeah.
Well, yeah, there's actually...
I was kind of being facetious.
No, I mean, well, because like the Benoit balls, like there's now all sorts of different ones that call different things, but it's specifically to tighten up. And
so these, what, you stick them in and then like try to pull them out, or you just stick
weights
on them?
No, you try and keep them up. So the Benoit balls are weighted. Put them up there and you're almost in a constant flex. Like when you feel like they're about to come out, you better just tighten up so they don't. But you can walk around with them, do shopping. But
what if you
wear underwear?
Lost control.
For sure. Yeah, because then they'll like just go rolling down the aisle.
I think I'd rather just pee my pants.
Or you just wear them around the house. But they do come weighted in different weights for the beginners and the advanced. If you want to get real serious, you know, take up vaginal weightlifting. I mean, I think that's a little extreme, but
each their own.
Who knows?
Well, this does seem like a workout where you can do in the boardroom right now, right? Like when you're just having a board meeting, you need to get in a quick 20-minute workout. You can just sit there and do Kegels and no one will know.
Yeah. Do you ever get the Kegel shivers? Do you do Kegels?
I do not do Kegels.
Oh. Every once in a while, like if you do them like repeatedly, I like kind of get a little shiver shake. And I used to work with people and we were just on the computer and we're like, are you doing your Kegels? Yep.
I would be like, I need a new partner. I relocate my office.
The next time we're in a work meeting and I see you shiver, I'm going to laugh.
It's almost like a pee shiver, you know?
Like,
whoa.
Oh, gee.
All right. So men often, like sometimes women just don't know, am I using the right muscles or not? Men have the same questions. So Scott, go ahead and follow my instructions because here's how you would do it for a man. One way to find them is to insert your finger into your rectum.
Right now on camera?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think I'm good.
Just kidding. No, this was
my thumb or my pinky, so because here, that's going to make a difference, I'll be honest.
This is, I'm going to read off, these are the suggestions based on a website that I think is BS, because okay. That was their first suggestion, and I was like, oh my
you
God.
You can't, like, slowly lead people to this process like that.
Yeah, so I think this writer was just being a jerk and wanted to lead people to stick their finger in their rectum. Here's his suggestions. Stick your finger into your rectum and squeeze it without tightening any other muscles. Another trick is to tense your muscles like you're going to pass gas. But that's just suggestion number two. And then suggestion three is to stop the flow of urine, you know, midstream. And that's like the most common suggestion for men and women that I've heard. I think this guy got him backwards. I'm like,
thinking of Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. I can't stop it.
It'll sting.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're still having trouble after the finger, fart, and pee trick, then you're hopeless and you should probably go seek your doctor.
Want to know a fun hemorrhoid fact?
Yeah, I do.
So, like, hemorrhoids, everybody says, oh, I've got hemorrhoids because they, you know, inflame or something. So everyone has hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are a part of your large intestine that can help you distinguish whether it's going to be gas or a solid that's about to come out. So everybody has them. But if they get inflamed, it's called a pile. But that's, everybody says, that's a hemorrhoid. But everyone has hemorrhoids. But a pile is an inflamed hemorrhoid.
So hemorrhoid's not really a negative term. It's actually
It's a thing you have, right? It's like saying I have a fingernail.
See, I did not know that.
I didn't either. I just thought that pile and hemorrhoid were interchangeable terms.
Well, they are, one's an inflamed hemorrhoid.
Right, but I thought they were the same thing. Like if somebody says I have a hemorrhoid and someone else says I have a pile, I thought they were the same thing.
See, if someone told me they had a pile, I'd be like, of what?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what that means medically. Just stop. I don't care.
Have you guys ever had to cut off peeing midstream?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you?
A couple of times, but mainly because I'm on a long road trip and there's no gas station around and you fill up the cup. It's more than 500 milliliters.
Oh.
I'm trying to think
that would be an emergency stop.
I know. Yeah. That's why you have to stop.
Women stop all the time, though. Like, if you go into a woman's restroom and you listen to a woman peeing, like, it's not always just a like, you can hear them stopping and starting at random. Like, it's not just a straight stream the whole time.
You're not supposed to stop midstream. Every suggestion on that, this is how you can find them, but don't make that a regular practice.
Oh.
There was a contraindication of doing that. Like,
and here I'm just thinking, like, if you get a bunch of guys together in a urinal, if you could do, like, Morse code by practicing
or, like,
Kegel exercises. Yeah.
You should make a musical urinal. That would be kind of cool. Like, every spot of the urinal would make a different tone when pee hit it.
Oh.
That would be kind of fun.
I always thought, like, a game, because, you know.
But it would probably also depend on the, like, quantity and the force of the pee, because I know that varies for individuals.
Well, what I saw this one thing one time, that, you know, they have urinal cakes in men's bathrooms to help them smell well. But there was this one, I thought it was genius, urinal cake that actually had, like, it was like a slot machine.
Oh.
And then you could make it all go, and you try to make it, like, four strawberries in a row or whatever. So much fun.
See, like, I wish I could be a guy for one day.
You can.
Sheepy.
It's called the sheepy.
What?
I got
one as a gift. I mean, like, the member.
My world.
I want
it
the whole man experience.
I've used it.
I have one too, and I've used it.
Yeah, and I was excited because I was able to pee on a wall.
Did you write your name?
I tried, but it was like, it didn't have the same force that a man probably does. So
this is like a big funnel.
I was running with Mandy the other day, and there was snow out, so I had to pee real quick. And she goes, like, what are you doing? I'm like, a little heart shape when you come back.
So Kegels aren't the only fixes for incontinence, correct?
Correct. You can have surgery. You can, you know.
There's a sling, right? That they
can put in. Bladder sling.
Yeah.
Bladder lift. Is that what it's called?
Well,
yeah,
I'll be
there's
honest.
Both.
Well, yeah, so the purpose, you know, because you have this bladder prolapse, and so it's falling down, so you just need something to hold it back up. So there's lots of different ways you can do that. Surgery, devices.
They talked about directly into the urethra, like into a ligament, so they would sew it with a couple stitches, and then also the sling. I also read some sort
like
of electrical stimulation. Did you
read
that?
To help stimulate the nerves?
I guess. Yes, but that one kind of creeped me out. It reminded me of, like, the weight loss belt they used to have that people would sit on, and it would, like, vibrate your body.
Yeah, that one I wonder for, because that doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
But it's probably just some little, like, machine that somebody's trying to make money off of.
Well, and rectal prolapse is a thing, too, right, for this same problem, right? So when your large intestine comes out and you're digital reinsertion is a thing, or you can legitimately sprinkled granulated sugar on it.
Oh.
And that'll help too.
Yeah, I think
so. Sprinkle a little sugar on it.
Slug.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what happens, right? You put the granulated sugar on there; it pulls out all the water, so the prolapse shrinks, and it should help you push it back in.
Wow, dark high school science is what we're doing.
Well, I remember seeing a patient like this one time, and she had a prolapse that was legitimately too long for anyone to try and push back in.
Yeah.
And the doc's like, well, let's just sprinkle some sugar on it. And I was like, okay, like, you know, Mary Poppins style.
Do you go up to, like, the cafeteria and get packets? Like, what do you do, hospital grade?
Well, so it does have to be granulated sugar. You can't use a sugar substitute or, like, aspartame's not going to work, right? It
sugar
does have
to
be.
Do you go sugar in the raw?
Has to be granulated sugar.
I opt for the powdered.
Stevia, please.
Oh. I don't need those calories. God. Well, we've digressed.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, so there are other treatments other than Kegel, but that's,
this
the number one. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's like any other muscle. Use it and it'll get bigger. You don't use it, you'll lose it. Yay.
We should do a Kegel challenge.
I'm out.
You want to see how much weight you can lift?
Oh, well, yeah, kind of. I mean, when I read about that gals, I'm like, oh, how much weight can my vagina lift? Like, you know, but I don't necessarily need to actually do it. But you can do Kegels without spending money. But it's also supposed to be better sexual stimuli for me and vice versa if a guy's doing them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're able to control climax better is what I've read, because those are the muscles that contract when you're climaxing. Yeah. The thing that makes your sperm
stronger,
come out with some force is these muscles.
Yeah.
There's so many jokes that
are inappropriate. The Kim girl, I looked up a video and she's like, you can have such a strong vagina that you can ejaculate across the room. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds violent. Yeah. I don't know if I'm into that.
It's like target practice, like Robin Hood style.
I don't know. Jen, she's so uncomfortable right now.
This episode.
Well, it's like that octopus that shoots his penis at the female and dies in the process and never knows if he's actually landed.
Yeah.
How unfortunate.
Yeah.
If you're interested in practicing some Kegel exercises, check out our website and go to our store. We'll post links to Amazon, called the Intimate Rose. Intimate Rose Kegel exercise weights, doctor recommended for bladder control and pelvic floor exercises. A set of 6 premium silicone Kegel balls with training kit for women, for beginners to advanced. So it comes with like a little book, the 6 different weights.
Does the advanced one have heavier weights?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it?
Yeah. Okay. So you start in the beginning, smaller weight, and you work your way up
CrossFit.
As you get stronger.
Well, if you like what you saw her today, check us out on our podcast or YouTube.
Or visit our website, medicalconfessions.com.